The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
You feel guilty, but you have sincerely repented for your sins, then that feeling that you have is an outright lie from the pit of hell. Because it does not agree with the Word of God. And we're either going to let this be the standard for our life, or we are going to stay miserable.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
Welcome to today's show. I am so excited about this because I truly believe that God has a message for some of you out there and that He is going to do something amazing. Have you ever felt so much shame that you didn't believe you were good enough to receive the love of God? Listen to this heartbreaking question. It says, I have sinned so many times, I'm ashamed to kneel before the Lord and ask forgiveness. And this person is not alone. So many of us feel like because of something that we've done or maybe even something that has been done to us, that we're just not worthy. Well, today we're going to explore that and let you know that God loves you and He knows everything you've done, everything you will do, yet He still chooses to love you. So today, Joyce will tell you what the Bible says about us sinners. And we have a story that will show you no matter how far you run away from God, He never leaves you. Do you remember what you felt like the night that you were here?
I do remember that. I remember it all too well. When you are at a place where waking up is hard to do, where you can't breathe anymore, that life is just suffocating you, that pain, the suffering, the shame, the guilt, and all of those things are just standing there and blocking the view of the cross. It really seemed at that moment that coming to an end here at this hotel was a very easy decision.
So get ready to accept that this feeling of shame is not from God. You don't have to suffer from it anymore, and Joyce will teach you how to defeat it as she answers our question, how can I live with this shame?
The Bible says in Revelation 12, 10 and 11, that the accuser of the brethren, talking about Satan, that is his name, the accuser of the brethren. And I'll still go through periods of time because that was such a major weakness in my life. That was such an area where Satan had such a stronghold. I felt so bad about me because my father had sexually abused me. And so I felt guilty. I could never keep my father happy no matter what I did, so I carried that into my relationship with God. And I got into this, I got to do everything just right, got to do it right, and I went through all that, you know, if I'm not reading the Bible through every year, and if I'm not this, and if I'm not, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not, and looking at everybody else and what I thought I should do because that's what they were doing. And all I was a mess before salvation, then I was just a saved mess. And I don't, you know, the worst thing in the world is to not be saved, but the second worst thing is to be saved and not enjoy it. Did you hear me? God doesn't want you just to trade some worldly misery for a new misery called Christian misery. Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. How can you enjoy life if you don't even like yourself? Some of you need to make peace with yourself. And it's something that only you can do. God created you and you need to learn to love what He created. That doesn't mean you don't have things wrong with you. We all do. But you got to learn to separate your who from your do. This is the stuff that I found in the Word of God that set me free. I would have died from stress, from religious stress, many years ago because I loved God, and because of my love for God, I wanted so much to please Him. And I tried so hard to do everything right, and I just kept messing up. I could lay in bed and make my plans for holiness, but the moment I put my feet on the floor, my plan ended. And I was like super aware of every little thing that I did wrong. You know what? I don't know. I'm sure I've done a few things wrong already this morning, but the good news is I don't know what they were. I don't know what they were. Because if I was aware of it, I asked for forgiveness right away. I received it and I went on. And then I also just say, and God, forgive me for all that stuff I don't even know that I did. See, God knows your heart. He knows your heart. And if you want to do what's right and you're pressing on, you're doing everything you can to grow, then God sees your heart and He's going to help you get from where you are to where you need to be. But if you don't get rid of the guilt and the shame and the blame, it weakens you and you can't make any progress.
I grew up in a really, really good, strong Christian family. God was never a secret in our household. I knew of a loving God. I knew of a God that would protect you, that would take care of you. And a church was prevalent in our lives. You know, we went every Sunday with my dad being a pastor and my mother being a Sunday school teacher. I was constantly in church.
When you say your life spiraled out of control, what did that look like?
I remember the first time I went to a club and they ordered drinks and they ordered me a Hennessy and Coke and I drank it. And it was almost immediately that loud, dark, smoky room became a place of ambiance. The music was no longer loud and banging. It was just peaceful to me. I began going back and forth to that club over and over and over again. And eventually, I got introduced to cocaine, then a heroin, and then a crack. And within a matter of a couple of months, I went from being a nice little church girl, wife and mother, to being a crackhead, a dope fiend, and a full-blown alcoholic. The guilt and shame had won.
Some of you are stuck somewhere in some old mistakes. Some old things that you ruined or messed up. I want you to have a different attitude today toward your mistakes. Not that we want to get up and make mistakes, not that we're delighted when we make mistakes, but we must understand that Jesus came and dealt with the sin problem. Sin is not dead, but we are dead to it. There's a part of us, the renewed part of us, that does not want to sin. If you were looking for an excuse to sin, you surely would not have come here today. So you could at least compliment yourself with this: I at least want to do what's right. Because there is a world full of people who just flat out don't care. But at least you care, and that puts a smile on God's face. It's really, really important that we don't walk around with this vague sense of failure. Because the devil will start on you from the moment you open your eyes in the morning, and actually before they're open, if your mind is awake, telling you and rehearsing to you what you're not. You're not. You're not. You're not. You didn't. You're not. You're not. And I want to teach you today how to talk back to him and say, I am. I am. I am. I am. I am. I'll be honest with you, if you don't learn how to talk back to the devil, it's going to be rough. You can talk out loud, you can talk in your head, but you got to learn how to not just sit around and put up with his lies. How wonderful it is that when we make mistakes, we can ask God to forgive us, and he does. Why? Just because he wants to. He wants to have relationship with us, and the only way he can do that is to keep forgiving us and forgiving us and forgiving us. Now, this was a real eye-opener to me many years ago when I saw this, because I had a huge problem with guilt. I mean, that possibly was one of my biggest problems. I was abused in my childhood. Any child who's being mistreated normally thinks that there's something they're doing that's causing that. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? That record played over and over and over in my head for years and years and years. It was so deeply embedded in me that I was rooted in shame. I did not like myself. I didn't like who I was. It's a totally different thing to not like what you do than it is to not like who you are.
Describe shame to me. What does shame feel like?
And it's like carrying a 2-ton weight on your shoulders. And that no matter where you go, you have this weight just bearing down on you. If you can only imagine looking at your child and your child crying and holding their arms out to you, and you wanna love them, and you wanna pick them up, but you're dirty, you're too bad, and you don't want any of that to rub off on them.
How dark did it get for you?
It got very dark. My life turned into just a living hell where I was propositioned to make money for sexual favors. And it was not flattering at all, but it was the road that I took. I would go around and put myself with people that I knew were lower than me so that I could feel better about myself. And then when I would get to that level, I would find even people that were lower so that I could still feel better about myself. And that vicious cycle went on until people were hanging around me so that they would feel better about themselves.
So let those of us who are spiritually mature have this attitude and mindset. I'm going to get up every day and do the best I can. I love God. You love God, you wouldn't be here. If you're still watching this television program, maybe even though you turned it on accidentally, you've got enough of something going on in there, if you've listened to me this long, to want to get to know God better, or you do know God and you want to change. So just quit persecuting yourself with your inventory of everything that's wrong with you. You're no surprise to God. He knew what he was getting when he got you. Now, that doesn't mean we don't want to change. I want to change. You're here because you want to change. But I've got to get you to understand that you cannot change if you're going to constantly be drugged back into the past by guilty feelings of everything that you did wrong yesterday. You can't make any progress today if you're going to be stuck in the mistakes of yesterday. So do you understand that if you're going to have a spiritually mature attitude towards sin and forgiveness, then you must recognize your sin, ask God to forgive you, and then don't spend the next 3 days feeling guilty. Guilt is a dead work. Go to Hebrews 5. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, how many of you have been around long enough that really by now you could be a little further down the road than you are? You say, well, wait a minute. You just told me not to feel guilty. Now you're making me feel guilty. No, see, that's the problem. If you got to feel guilty because I say that, it's not because I said it. It's because something is off in you. Why not just say, yeah, man, that's true. I've been doing this already 30 years, and I still like a big baby sometimes. So, you know, yes, I should be further along. Let's help me find out today why I'm not. Not this, oh, my God, I'm so terrible. That doesn't do one bit of good. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again, the very first principles of God's word. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone, now watch this, for everyone who continues to feed on milk, and this is talking about the only kind of messages you can take are little, you know, God loves you, you're sweet, you're going to get everything you want, let me give you a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, God's, you know, you can't take the straighten up grow up, stop acting like a baby. It's time to get yourself off your mind, think about somebody else. Then when we hear that kind of stuff, we get mad at the vessel that God is trying to use. We all need encouragement, but we also need correction. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously, he said, inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness. Lord mercy, I love that. In other words, the doctrine of righteousness says, he that knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. He is my standard, not the world. I don't have to please everybody else. I need to live to please God. And I hope they get pleased in the process, but if they don't, I can't let them run my life. If you can't handle the meat of the word, if you can't handle correction from the Holy Spirit, if you can't handle correction from some other authority that God has placed over your life, if you have to fall apart every time somebody in a loving way says, you know, you really shouldn't do that, or you really shouldn't say that, then the Bible says we just flat out don't know who we are. And that everything we feel about ourselves is based on how everybody views us and sees us and our own perfection, and it's just a big mess. How many of you are tired of living in that mess?
Wow. If you don't move past that place of shame, Joyce just said it will keep you in a weak state, and that's exactly what Satan wants. Yes, Satan is real, and he wants to keep you in a place where you stay put down, you stay low, not the way God wants to raise you up and do something beautiful in your life. We're going to return to more of Joyce's teaching and Lisa's story. Lisa was just such a delight and such an encouragement, and in a moment we're going to find out more about how God has completely removed that stain from her life. But first, someone to tell you that you need to study to move out of that place where you may be right now. You need to get all the help that you can from God's Word to overcome that shame and the other emotions that go along with it. So what we have for you today is a teaching called The Fearsome Four. This is talking about those emotions like fear, guilt, insecurity, worry, all of those things that may be holding you back. Exactly what Satan wants, not what God wants. He wants to give you security and love and confidence. So pick this up today. It's available for you right now. It's 4 hours of teaching, and it's all about what God's Word says. Right now, let's get to the conclusion of Lisa's story and Joyce's answer to how can I live with this shame? Overwhelming feelings of shame led Lisa Bryson from life as a church-going wife and mother to becoming a drug-addicted prostitute. It all began with a terrible circumstance beyond her control.
What a sudden turn, really very quick, and it was really all because of the shame that you felt for something that was done to you.
Yeah. A rape had occurred. And that sent me into a false sense of acting like I was still in control. See, rapes don't happen to women like me that are in church, that are doing the right thing, that's married, that's, you know, with little kids. And rapes don't happen to, they only happen to weak women. And I wasn't a weak woman. The shame and the guilt built to such a point that I covered it up completely and just moved on with my life as if nothing had ever happened to me.
Thinking back, she says even in the midst of her addiction, God reached out to her.
And I remember the first time I ran across Joyce Meyer. And I said, wow, who's this little lady dressed all sweet and with her jewelry on and looking sharp? And so I kept it there for just a minute. You know, and I began to use. And it appeared that every time I would come to that place and turn on the TV, she would be on. And I did that for many, many years. You know, she would just be on. She became a part of my, this is not gonna sound good. She became a part of my high routine.
16 years later, Lisa, who was homeless by this time, attempted suicide in this hotel.
When you wake up, it's in pain. When you go to sleep, it's in pain. When you walk around, it's in pain. It really seemed at that moment that coming to an end here at this hotel was a very easy decision.
After Lisa's suicide attempt, she agreed to go to rehab and then on to a transitional home.
So when I was a resident here at Homecoming, this was my bedroom. And I had the privilege of sleeping on the bottom bunk. And it was in this bed that I would reminisce constantly and would think upon God. And I got this brilliant idea because I wanted to be closer to God. And I bought a little rug, and that became my prayer rug. And I put it here in front of this bed. And in the morning and in the evenings and in the afternoons, whenever I wanted to talk with God, I would come and I would kneel here at this bed.
So this is that spot where the journey of recovery really began for you.
Yeah. And my journey with God, you know, because I was in a safe place.
What happened to that deep shame that you were feeling?
You know, sometimes you just have to face your giants. So going to those shameful places in my life, I had to face that giant so that I could slay it and kill it. And that takes a lot of personal, internal work. And it takes a lot of prayer. And it takes a lot of God. And you need all of that to sit there and to look at all of those dark areas of your life.
More than a decade later, God has restored Lisa's family. They get together every week to have dinner, her parents, children, grandchildren, and her husband. They operate two transitional homes, helping men and women restart their lives with Christ. Lisa is living proof that it can be done.
I just believed his word, that I didn't have to fight this battle alone. The biggest part of me fighting shame and guilt was believing God. No matter what I felt, no matter how many tears I cried, I believed God. Even sitting here now and sharing the broken areas of my life, knowing that people that don't know that side of me will now know that side of me. You know, the Lord is just saying, whom the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. And so I've been set free. And so you might have a problem with that woman, but I certainly don't, because she's dead now and this woman lives today.
This is the work that God requires of you, that you believe on the One. Do you have any idea how it delights God when you just believe what He said more than you believe how you feel? How much longer are you going to let your feelings be the God of your life? Are you going to keep bowing down to how you feel? Or are you going to say, it really doesn't matter how I feel, because feelings come and go. They're there when you don't want them. They go away when you do want them. You never know what they're going to do from one day to the next. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are just an absolute unbelievable mess, and they don't see anybody's faults. They see everybody's faults but their own. So just because they feel smug and self-righteous, that doesn't mean that they're right with God. And just because you feel guilty, that doesn't mean that you are. I'm trying to tell you today that if you feel guilty but you have sincerely repented for your sins, then that feeling that you have is an outright lie from the pit of hell. Because it does not agree with the Word of God. And we're either going to let this be the standard for our life, or we are going to stay miserable. Well, Joyce, how long will it take me to get over feeling this way? A while. I don't know. A while. Some longer than others. You don't even need to be worrying about that. Well, how long is this going to take, and how hard is it going to be? It's not going to be any harder than what you're doing now. And at least if we start doing the right thing, we're making some kind of progress. From glory to glory, little by little, He delivers us from our enemies. Don't be so upset about how far you have to go. Be excited about how far you've come. My gosh, I've come a long way. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, the Bible teaches us that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And this is your weapon against the devil. The Word of God is like a two-edged sword dividing soul and spirit. In Ephesians 6, a chapter in the Bible about spiritual warfare, it talks about wielding, using the sword of the Spirit. So, the devil says you're not, you're not, you're not. And you're either going to agree with him and say, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not. And then to make it worse, sometimes then we even go to lunch with somebody and say, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not. Just agreeing with the devil. Everything he says, just agreeing with him. I'm not, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not. I'm not, I'm not. But a spiritually mature person will say, let me tell you what I am. You don't need to waste your time anymore telling me what I'm not, because I know what I'm not in the flesh, but I know who I am in the Spirit. I know what I'm not in the flesh, but I know what I am in the Spirit. And here's what I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am forgiven. I am anointed. I am a child of God. I am forgiven.
God's word is key to overcoming emotional pain, but you have to choose to let that happen. Don't let shame keep you from His love and from His peace. And right now, whatever it is that is making you stuck in that place of shame, whether it's something you feel like you did or something you didn't do or something someone else did to you, you need to realize that it's no longer your shame, it's Christ. He took it on the cross, He completely paid for it, and it is over. And you are free right now. Get this resource. It is going to help you understand that so much better. The Fearsome Four, it talks about shame and guilt and insecurity and all of those things that we all battle at different times in our life. It's available right now. So go to the website or give us a call and get this. Remember, we love hearing from you. Tell us how you feel about Lisa's story that you just saw today. Go to our Facebook page. Watch the show again if you need to, but just let us know maybe how you connected to some of those things that Lisa went through. She got to such a low point in her life, but it's never too low, and it's not too low for you, for God to bring you back up into a glorious new place. We'll see you next time right here on Everyday Answers.
I really pray that you will take these messages to heart and realize that God wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to know who you are in Christ, to have peace and to have joy at all times. And we have to stop thinking, well, that's impossible.
Don't forget to send us your questions. Use hashtag AskJoy so that we can find them and then be watching every week as we talk about those questions together with answers from God's Word. Take time throughout the day to say what God says in His Word about you. Say it out loud. He loves you. He will never leave you. He forgives you. Choose to believe Him over and over, and you may eventually feel what you're saying, because God's word is true. We'll see you next time.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.